Hi, folks. Nathan Pierce here. I'm looking forward to sharing with you an interview I just did with Will Estrada from HSLDA. I hope you enjoy this time with Will Estrada, and let's get into it. Welcome to The Frontline with FPM, where we talk about California politics, homeschool freedom, parental rights, and the family. I'm your host, Nathan Pierce, and thanks for joining us today. Let's jump right in and see what's going on here on The Frontline. All right. Well, I'm really thankful to have Will Estrada here from HSLDA to join us for our podcast today. And I am looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks at our event that's coming up. But and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But thanks so much for joining us today, Will.
It's a privilege to be on, Nathan. Thank you for all that you and your organization does.
I'm really glad to have known you for a number of years now. And you've had quite the line of work kind of moving around a little bit with the building your resume over the last 10 years or so. Why don't you start with telling us a little bit about kind of your background and experience, and then we'll go from there.
Well, that would be a privilege, Nathan. So I'm the oldest of eight kids. Then when I was 9 years old, we moved to rural northern Pennsylvania. Dad was a public school teacher. Mom gave up her career in IBM to homeschool myself and my seven siblings. And so really, when you think about homeschooling, I've kind of been on all of the sides of it as a homeschool graduate, K through 12, as a homeschooler, being right there as my parents were not, I wouldn't say the pioneers of homeschooling, but on that leading edge of homeschooling in the 80s and 90s. And then when I graduated as a homeschooler, I went to Oak Brook College of Law. It's a predominantly online law school program in California. So I was working through my law school career. And then about 2 years into that, I got a job as a legal assistant at the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. So 21 years old, moved to Northern Virginia, started working. This is 2004, served for 2.5 years as a legal assistant, finished up law school, met my wife, got married. And then HSLDA had an opening for an attorney to do the federal lobbying work. And so I ended up doing that for 12 years and represented homeschoolers, all 50 states, did a lot of international work as well in Washington, D.C. So meeting with legislators, testified before Congress, meeting with the federal executive agencies and meeting in the White House, and found that to be incredibly rewarding work. So for 14 years, I worked at Homeschool Legal Defense. And then in 2018, sort of had a career change. God led me over into the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Office for Civil Rights. And so across two presidential administrations, I did civil rights work, healthcare law. We were right there on the kind of tip of the spear with the COVID pandemic response. And then recently left the federal government for a little bit. I served as the president of the Parental Rights Foundation, so doing a lot of parental rights work in all 50 states. But my passion really, and it took a little bit of being in the federal government to see that, but my passion was homeschooling. My wife and I homeschool our kids here in Northern Virginia. And so an opportunity came to go back to Homeschool Legal Defense a year ago. And so I jumped at that. And never going to leave. So I serve as senior counsel at the Homeschool Legal Defense Association. I handle California, eight other states, and the District of Columbia, serving our members and the homeschool community in those states. And as a California licensed attorney, the Golden State, California, is near and dear to my heart. So that's a little bit about what I've done and why I'm so glad to be back at Homeschool Legal Defense serving homeschoolers in California.
Yeah. And it's great to have you back, really, to be our attorney working on things in California. I know there's a lot of work that has to go into being the folks at your end defending homeschool freedoms here in California on a range of things. I want to ask you a little bit about that, but first, could you tell us, you said that your work in federal relations was very rewarding. Can you give us an example or two about how that was. And I let me just give you a the reason for the question is that some people feel very defeated, especially here in California, as you can imagine. So how is it that it can be rewarding to work on fighting for freedom? And can you help us to see a little bit of your rewardness feeling from your experience working on those things?
Well, that's a great question, and I'm going to have a multi-level response. So I guess the first one is, it's popular to hate on Congress and hate on the federal government. And I mean, our founders were concerned about centralized power. So even our federalist system, where you have the federal government, and then you have the state government, and then you have local governments, even today, you know, coming in on 250 years later, the federal government does not have a lot of power. We talk, I think, a lot about the federal government, but honestly, the state and local authorities have more impact on our day-to-day activities. And let's even just look at that a little bit. You know, obviously, there's such a big attempt to nationalize elections, and it's not all bad. But California, for all the challenges you have in California, you have one of the best laws under which to educate your children. Technically, there is no homeschool law. Homeschoolers operate as a type of private school. You know, the In re Jonathan L. case in 2008 said that even though we're under the private school law, that is how home education operates. So it was a really earth-shattering and fantastic decision. But, you know, it's easy to be discouraged when you look at one thing. But then when you start to look at all the freedoms that I think we do take for granted, I am an optimist. And even in a state like California, we have great laws when it comes to educating our children and being able for parents to have that freedom. So one of the things that just was very rewarding to serve as HSLDA's federal representative is, as I was saying, it's kind of popular to hate on Washington, D.C., and a lot of it is deserved. But you also got to see people who love our limited government. They love the Constitution. I'm a Christian myself, and so to see so many members of Congress and their staff who love the Lord, who love the Word of God, who homeschool their children, that's very encouraging. And a lot of them don't really wear it on their sleeves. Some do, but you know, there is a lot of hypocrisy in government as well, and so a lot of them don't. But to be in those private meetings where you see that they love their families, they love their wife, they're faithful in their marriages, they love the Lord, they love our Constitution. That's something that we don't see too often in the news, but there really are a lot of faithful people in Washington, D.C. And so I got to see that firsthand, got to pray with members of Congress, got to see their passion. And, you know, a lot of them are not in the limelight. A lot of the glory hounds kind of steal everything, but that is not representative. Well, sometimes it is representative of Washington, D.C., but sometimes it's not representative of Washington, D.C. So that's the first part. The second part is we were able to get a lot of changes fixed. And I encourage people in California, because it's easy to get discouraged about some things, but there's also a lot of reason for hope. And we had numerous fixes for homeschoolers where Democrats led the charge, where it was bipartisan. One big issue that we dealt with in the mid-2000s, this was really, when you think of it historically, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan were drawing down under the Obama administration. They were trying to reduce our footprint there. And they were cutting back on people in the military. And so the Pentagon said, well, the easy way is if you're a homeschooler, we're not going to let you enlist in the military. You need to have a traditional high school diploma. And I'm a homeschool graduate. You're a homeschool graduate, Nathan. That is discrimination against homeschoolers. And so twice we were able to unanimously, with bipartisan support, both times we got the legislation through in the annual National Defense Authorization Act. President Obama then at the time signed into law, but we made it beyond any question that homeschool diplomas are sufficient for military enlistment. And I see that daily. So we were able to get a lot of good changes through, almost all of them on a bipartisan basis. And then also we were able to do a lot to protect homeschoolers. I still think one of the top three proudest moments in my professional life would be in December of 2012, when a dangerous United Nations treaty, it was called the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, was actually defeated on the Senate floor. It's one of, I believe, the only times a treaty was rejected by the U.S. Senate. There might be one or two other times. And HSLDA was involved in that. You know, people might think, oh, disabilities, isn't this great? The United States is the world leader on protecting the rights of persons with disabilities. Think of the Americans with Disabilities Act, IDEA, Individuals with Disabilities and Education Act. We actually enforce these laws. This was a United Nations treaty that would have actually weakened our laws. And it also had dangerous language saying in all issues concerning a child with disabilities, the best interest of the child shall be the primary consideration. That best interest language conflicts with parental rights in our country. And so it would have just eviscerated parental rights if a child had any disability or special needs or anything like that. So that was exciting to see that we were able to get that defeated. And then the final thing I would just encourage people is we still have a federalist system. And what does federalism mean? It means that local control is the most important. Now, that can be a challenge in California at times because the state and local governments may not share many of our views, but it is encouraging that people still have the freedom to vote with their feet of where they move. Even in California, you know, there are some counties which it may not feel like California in some regards because there's still strong state and local control. And so, you know, that is an encouragement in our country that, you know, state governments might be problematic, federal governments might be problematic, but there still is freedom. Might take a little bit of moving, voting with your feet, but we still have that freedom.
Right. So when it comes to California, since you're coming here, and I've seen you at least once or twice this year already here.
It's been nice. It's been really good.
Yeah. What are you going to be sharing with us at coming up here in San Diego at Homeschool Freedom Day?
Well, first off, the work that you are doing, Nathan, with Homeschool Freedom Day, with encouraging homeschoolers, we have it really easy in California. I handle numerous states for homeschool legal defense. The most populous state as far as homeschoolers go and just general population, obviously, is California. California is one of my states where I have the least contacts of school districts harassing homeschoolers. And so despite what we might see on the news or even might think politically, it's a great state in order to homeschool. But there are challenges on the horizon. One of the biggest threats we have is we're seeing the rise of the media basically urging for there to be more restrictions on homeschooling. That started last year with the Washington Post. ProPublica has been running state-specific, basically calls for more regulation. And we know that's coming eventually to California. But we have great laws in California. And you, Nathan, and your team, you're being proactive on this, of getting out and saying, we're not going to wait for bad bills to be moving in Sacramento. We're going to get out and we're going to talk in all corners of the state about why homeschool freedom is important. So I just want to say the work that you're doing, encourage people to support your work. It's absolutely invaluable. If we can head off bad legislation before we have to flock to Sacramento to stop it, that's a victory. It might not be as quote unquote exciting, but yeah. You know, us lawyers, sometimes we don't want life to be too exciting. We want to avoid some of the excitement so that ordinary, extraordinary moms and dads and families can be at peace, can live quietly, can homeschool their children and not have to worry about a loss of freedom. So I'm thrilled to be coming out to San Diego. I'll be talking with the families and the attendees, kind of a several part series. I have a law review article that I just published. It's going to be coming out in Liberty University's School of Law, their law review, any day now, probably in the next 2 or 3 days or next week. And it goes through the history of parental rights. And think of parental rights as the umbrella, and then homeschooling and other family freedoms come under that, but they all stem from parental rights. And so I go back, I look at the Jewish traditions, the Christian traditions, faith traditions, the Islamic faith traditions, so the three great Abrahamic world religions. And really all three were in agreement that the divine created the family, and out of the family came everything else. So parental rights, family freedom is the most important. It wasn't really until the Greek philosophers, Plato, called that into doubt. And then you know, the rise of industrialism and some of the issues we saw in the early 1900s that we really began to see attack on parental rights. But historically, that's not the case. So I'm going to kind of give an exciting, fast-paced look at world history. history from the beginning, then zeroing in on homeschool freedom. California was on the forefront with litigation, but looking at some other states as well, and just kind of reminding us where we came from. I mean, it could have gone very differently when some of these challenges to parental rights first came up 100 years ago. 1923 was the first case where the U.S. Supreme Court ever wrestled with parental rights. That was Meyer versus Nebraska. And then 2 years later in 1925, Pierce versus Society of Sisters. Nathan, back then the challenge was, could you even have a private school? There were attempts to ban private schools. And today private schools are thriving. They're around. There's really no question. But those cases 100 years ago could have gone very differently. And I don't know if homeschooling would have ever even been created if we had lost that battle for parental rights in the context of private schools, and particularly in California, where legally homeschoolers operate as a type of private school. Right. Those cases are our foundation that led to the freedoms that we have today. So I'm going to go through the history. It's not going to be boring history. It's going to be fun history. And then I'm going to close. And I know the other speakers, and Nathan, you'll be doing this with, here's how we can be ready to be winsome, strong voices for homeschool freedom. Doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican, white, Black, Latino. This is for everyone. These are freedoms that we can't take for granted, but which we enjoy. And here's how we can protect them for generations to come.
Yeah, I'm excited. Just hearing you give the flyby version of it, I'm looking forward to it. I've heard you speak on bits and pieces of this topic over the years, and even earlier this year, and I'm just really excited. I think moms and dads are going to be inspired, but also I think young people will find it fascinating and be excited about it too, which we do need to engage the young people. So is that something that you would encourage families to come? I mean, this event is open to whole families. Is your session and the things you have to say things that are applicable to young people?
They absolutely are. And I'm kind of a weird kid, Nathan. I knew I wanted to be a lawyer when I was 11 or 12 years old. So bring your kids, bring your whole family. You're going to enjoy this. Of course, San Diego is beautiful. Every time I'm in San Diego, I'm like, oh, I see why people want to move to California. So bring the whole family. You are not going to be disappointed. You're going to enjoy this. And I still remember when my parents brought my siblings and me to, be in Washington, D.C., to speak out on issues, to go to our state capitol for homeschool capital days. We're in this really good situation in California where bad legislation has not been introduced. There are no media calls at this moment. Of course, that could change tomorrow with a publication of a news story. But there's really no fomenting going on to restrict homeschool freedom. And we can't kind of rest on our laurels, or sometimes, unfortunately, I even see apathy among the homeschool community. We need to continue to be bold, joyful warriors out there of, here's why homeschooling works. Make sure that our legislators aren't saying homeschoolers are weird, but that they understand that we love our kids. That's why we're doing this. We want our children to succeed. Homeschoolers are succeeding. Share those success stories. But then even just, you bring your kids to Sacramento or to a district office for a state representative or a state senator, knock out your civics class right there with a 15-minute meeting. But that's also, they've seen you. They now, when they think of a homeschooler, they'll think of the Pierce family or the Santiago family or the Estrada family. And they'll be like, oh, that was a nice family. That's what homeschooling is. I want legislators to think of homeschoolers. I want media people to think of homeschoolers, not in the abstract, but in the concrete. Those are my neighbors down the street. I don't want to regulate them. We do that, we'll never have to fear.
Right. And you're saying this as I do without just assuming that would make a difference, but that you've actually seen it make a difference, right?
When I did the federal lobbying for homeschool legal defense from 2006 until 2018, one of the first things that we did was we created what we called the Congressional Action Program, or CAP, and we brought local homeschoolers to Washington, D.C. And so that way, you know, if a legislator from Jackson Hole, Wyoming, or from Los Angeles, California, who didn't know homeschoolers, they could see these local homeschoolers. And our families always brought their children with them. And We built relationships with senior staffers, members of Congress, Republican, Democrat, some very, very, very progressive. But at the end of the day, all of them were very supportive of homeschooling. And some of the long in the tooth homeschoolers might remember George Miller. George Miller was a very senior Democrat from California. He chaired for many years the powerful Education and the Workforce Committee. The Democrats usually, when they're in charge, they call it the Education and Labor Committee. He was either the chairman or the ranking member for many years. Ranking members, when the minority party is in charge, that's their highest member. The chairman, of course, the majority party. So right now, the Republicans have the House. So education is called Education and Workforce Committee. The Republicans have the chair. The Democrats have the ranking member. The Senate, the Democrats have the leadership. So they have the chair. The Republicans have the ranking member. But at this time, George Miller was the chairman of the Education and Labor Committee. And the reason I say some of the long in the tooth homeschool leaders will remember that name is all the way back in 1994, so 30 years ago, George Miller had led the charge for an amendment to H.R. 6. H.R. 6 was the every 6 year Elementary and Secondary Education Act reauthorization. And he had tried to put in language which would have required every single teacher, including public, private, and homeschools, including homeschools, to be certified in every subject of every grade level that they taught. This would have been the death knell for many private schools, but it certainly would have been the death knell for homeschoolers if there was a federal requirement that every homeschool parent be certified in every subject and every grade level that they taught. You know, maybe 100 homeschool parents in the nation could meet that threshold. And this was before homeschoolers were really organized in the national level. I mean, in 1994, homeschooling was still illegal in a couple states. Michigan, it was still illegal. Texas, there were still questions. There were still battles going on. But this is, remember, before the days of email and the internet, you had to have fax phone trees. You would call people. You would actually send letters back then. But homeschoolers shut down Capitol Hill. I still remember as a kid it being the news story of the busy signal on Capitol Hill. George Miller's amendment went down to defeat 419-1. He was the only member of Congress to vote in favor of his amendment. And really, the strength of homeschoolers was established then. So fast forward, 12 years later, 2006, George Miller was now the chairman of the Education and Labor Committee. He had kind of been the bogeyman for homeschoolers. And Nathan, we brought local homeschoolers to meet with his office. And we were able to turn George Miller, and it wasn't HSLDA or me, it was local homeschoolers, moms, dads, their kids coming in, bringing cookies, talking about homeschooling, sharing stories. In 2010, George Miller ended up actually sponsoring the legislation to make sure that a federal scholarship that went through at that time was open to homeschoolers. Now, George Miller is no longer in Congress. He retired many years ago, but I still remember that story because here was someone who had been, for lack of a better term, the bogeyman when it came to homeschool freedom, who, because he got to know local homeschoolers, became an ally for homeschoolers. You know, not in agreement on many other political issues there, but he ended up supporting homeschool freedom. And so nobody, we never would say, oh, we're going to give up on that person. Everyone is gettable, because if we can show that side of homeschooling of here's why we're doing it, I believe every single member of Congress, every single state legislator will be supportive.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a great story. I love that. And I think you're so right that everybody is gettable if we can get them the stories of families, real people sharing their heart about why we're doing this. That's so good. The day before Homeschool Freedom Day is the CHEA Leadership Conference. And I'm excited to have you're speaking at that as well. I know that there will be some leaders there that are excited to hear from you. For those that are perhaps still on the fence about whether they should take the time out of their busy schedules, leaders are busy, to get there, what would you say to them to encourage them to take that time to meet with other leaders and to be inspired there?
That's a great question. And I'm thrilled to be speaking at both of these events. I'm excited to see how closely Family Protection Ministries and CHEA work together. I mean, we're all singing from the same sheet of music, but that's going to be a little bit of a different talk. It's going to be a very informal, this is your chance to ask me any question that comes up. Obviously, there are many issues that leaders have. We've seen some of them with zoning issues, with health code issues, with immunization requirements. And so a lot of these stories are ones that I don't want to go into too much detail in a public podcast. Obviously, I'll never share names, attorney-client privilege, all that sort of thing. But in that meeting with leadership, we're going to be digging into some of these kind of frontline issues that you're aware of, Nathan, that Chia is aware of, and which our co-ops and other group leaders have really been dealing with. And a lot goes on, and I just want to encourage homeschoolers, a lot goes on behind the scenes that often we don't talk about as much, and I wish we could because they're great stories, but sometimes just because of attorney-client privilege or strategies, we can't talk about these. And so in those off-the-record meetings, we're going to be addressing a lot of them, wading into some of these fights that probably a lot of people are not familiar with, but our leaders are familiar. And so I would strongly urge our leaders, of the homeschool groups and co-ops and church leaders, come on out to this. You are not going to want to miss it. It's going to be encouraging. My friend Zan Tyler is going to be there, who's really just one of the pioneers of the homeschool movement. But we're also going to be diving into some of these thorny issues where there has not yet been a negotiation. We're kind of still having these questions, and it could still lead to litigation. So encourage you to come on out. That's probably the most I can say is the spoiler right there in an open forum, but you are not going to want to miss it. And it's going to be very interactive. You're going to have chances both publicly to ask questions and also privately to ask questions as well. So your chance to kind of hear from the full team.
Yeah, I'm really grateful for you making the time to come out for that as well, Will, because I think we need to have those opportunities for leaders to ask the questions dealing with the situations that they're in the middle of. So thank you for doing that, and thank you for sharing today. And I'm really thankful that I'll get to be seeing you in person real soon. And any last parting thoughts?
I'll say one thing to the leaders and then one thing to just our general homeschool moms and dads who are listening. For leaders, it can be lonely at the top. You are supporting a lot of families. You're kind of the pointy end of the spear when it comes to homeschool freedom, interacting with state and local authorities and also families. So I just want to say thank you for every one of our leaders who's listening to this, who's making plans to come on out to the CHIA and FPM days in San Diego in just about 2 weeks, actually. I look forward to meeting you. And then same for our local parents. What you are doing is, I mean, we won't know this side of eternity, the impact that you are having. And I leave you with the words of the Irish poet William Butler Yeats. He said, "Education is not the filling of a pail, but the lighting of a fire." And so moms, dads, parents, you are lighting that fire of a love of learning in your children. And sometimes it can be hard. I'm working from home today, and we go through the full school year. We don't really break for the summer, although we are a little bit more relaxed in the summer. And so sometimes there are good days, there are bad days. But keep at it, because what you're doing is just so important. So thank you.
Thanks, Will. I really appreciate your time, and I'm looking forward to seeing you shortly.
Same here, Nathan.